at EHS On Tap. I'm your host, Jay Kumar, Editor-in-Chief of EHS Daily Advisor. This week I talked to Cam Mackey, President and CEO of the International Safety Equipment Association, and Ray Chisty, Senior EHS Editor with J.J. Keller, about clearing up confusion about worker head protection. And now, on to the interview.
I'm joined today by Cam Mackey, President and CEO of the International Safety Equipment Association, and Ray Chisty, Senior Editor EHS with J.J. Keller. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Jay. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We're going to talk about a new research study that's underway on head protection. But before we do that, I was wondering if you guys could tell me a little bit about yourselves. Cam, let's start with you.
Yeah, great. Thanks for the invitation. Excited to be here, Jay. Yep. So I'm Cam Mackey. And as you mentioned, I'm CEO of the trade association ISEA. So we represent the folks that make, distribute, and test all different types of PPE and safety equipment. So we protect over 120 million workers in the U.S., which that stat always blows my mind. And we're happy to be here talking about one of our favorite topics, head protection.
Awesome. Ray.
All right. Same. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate the invitation to talk safety with you guys. Ray Chisty. I'm a senior EHS editor at J.J. Keller & Associates. I specialize in a variety of things like content creation for OSHA compliance. We host webcasts, live events on OSHA compliance topics, do a lot of those, provide a lot of expert guidance through our expert help tool on OSHA-related matters, kind of wearing that SME hat. I have a Juris Doctor with a focus in occupational safety and health. Have about 20 years of combined EHS experience. I've done a lot of things over the years, have done the safety observations, advising on safety matters, developing policies, creating safety plans, managing safety at job sites, have worn the workers' compensation hat, really just being a champion overall for safety over my career.
Very cool. Well, thanks again for joining me. Tell me about the research study. What's sort of the goal and sort of how can people access it? I don't know if Cam, you want to start?
Yeah, so I'll start. And, I'm not the one that works for J.J. Keller, but, here at ISEA, we've got a ton of respect for the work that they do. And they have a Center for Market Insights that just does dynamite surveys and research. And we were really excited to connect with them. And when we found out they were interested in head protection, our ears perked up. We've been hearing so many concerns over the last, several months, and even a couple of years about head protection. And so what we were excited to partner with J.J. Keller on the survey on is to help, number one, identify, but then number two, address that there's confusion in the marketplace about terminology. There's lots of numbers and letters and standards and regs. There's confusion about the technology options out there. Good thing is there's a lot of innovation. It's evolving, but it's also, there's a lot of numbers to remember. And then finally, even the regulations from OSHA. So, go into this later, but I think really what we're trying to do is address that confusion in the marketplace, just hit it head on and make that decision point about what kind of head protection do I want to buy. Just make that a little less painful than it is now.
Ray, how did this sort of come about?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to echo some of the points, we really wanted to educate our workers. We wanted to make sure that our customers, workers, the general public had the right information. We saw that there was a lot of challenges out there. In terms of, PPE management, employers had lots of questions from the industry. Training procedures, what do I have to do? When do I need to do it? Do I have to refresh? Decision-making was a big one, really in the purchasing tree of PPE. Who is the decision-maker? How do we order head protection? Where do we go to get that? We saw challenges with hazard assessment processes that employers were having, just asking, how do I even start one? What do I need to include on my hazard assessment? Other things include things like utilization of head protection, depending upon what industry our participants were coming from. And then really just things like innovations. Different industries were experiencing different challenges and they were looking for innovative solutions for head protection.
And so the survey is underway now, and folks can participate until, was it May 2nd? So
yes,
basically another, after this, this will actually run on April 30th. So there'll be a couple more days, but are you seeing a lot of our participation so far?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, lots of input. We're looking forward to the comments. And, you know, really data mining and then coming up with some good solutions for the industry. Absolutely. Excellent.
So let's talk about head protection in general. How has head protection evolved over the years? I'm sure you both have seen a lot of changes, you know, in your careers. So I don't know, Cam, you want to start us off?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to talk, not even getting into the, you know, features and all the cool technology, which we'll definitely get into, but you know, first off, I just want to say it's a really exciting time if you're a worker or a safety professional. There's choice. And that the reason I'm, you know, highlighting choice before getting into the bells and whistles is safety professionals can find pretty much anything out there now, and also workers. So it's a good news, bad news situation. That's the good news. The bad news is, maybe the flip side is, it's never been more important to educate yourself about what's out there. And you know, we really don't recommend just, I'm going to go to Google, read a couple web pages, and then if I'm a worker, here's how I'm going to use my allowance. So the reason why that, you know, we think this is so important, I was getting ready for this call. NIH did a study, guys, a few years ago. The number one reason the construction workers don't wear their helmets, they don't wear their PPE, it's not comfortable, right? That was like 80%+ said the number one reason, I'm not going to wear my head protections, it's not comfortable. And there's a real impact to that, right? So again, before we get into the features, almost 80% of fatalities due to head trauma, person wasn't wearing any kind of head protection. So there's this absolute clear connection between comfort and whether you wear it, and whether you wear it to whether it protects you. So right now, just recognizing we have different bodies, different preferences, it's so great that there are so many features and choices out there so workers can find the PPE that they're comfortable, confident, and protected in.
Oh, Ray, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I create a lot of content around this space. I mean, you know, if you go back into history, so to speak, I mean, if you look at some of the more primitive helmets that have been out there, you know, they really started with that basic impact protection using things like leather. We've seen wood, metal, right? Really just rudimentary types of head protection. And they worked until they didn't, right? Yeah. You know, if you fast forward through what we call that industrial revolution, that 19th century, we saw, you know, more, we saw that the leather helmets come about, right? Particularly in the construction industry. The 20th century, again, with the construction industry, we saw different types of injuries, head impacts, different types of head injuries, where all of a sudden the industry was saying, hey, we need more protection. We need to do something different. Really, we've seen this development of standards, right? You know, whether they're design, whether they're materials, performance, testing procedures, developing some criteria from those primitive days on coming about with these new safety helmets. As Cam said, there's been lots of advancements in material. We've seen a lot of different types of polycarbonates and different types of plastics that have come about, and really durability, comfort, protection. I mean, those were all big avenues that a lot of employers were looking for. Technology integration, smart technology, smart helmets, wearable features. Employers wanted real-time data. They wanted to be able to communicate with their workers. And so we've seen that. Just to echo Cam a little bit more, the customization and fit, that's always been the newer kid on the block, and I think it will always be. And then specialized applications. I think the industry continues to evolve. Technologies continue to advance, and so employers are looking for those specialized applications.
So, you know, you both mentioned that obviously comfort is a big concern for workers. Yeah. Are you seeing more education about, you know, the need to wear, you know, that kind of PPE, and, you know, and maybe is it getting more comfortable now as they're kind of evolving and coming out with new products?
I'd say absolutely. And again, I mean, you know, comfort, you know, it might be different for each of us on this call, right? So some of the comfort things, there are some amazing advances in materials, like Ray said. So what does that do? It makes helmets or hard hats lighter, which is great. It makes them, you know, heat resistant, or, you know, we have heat shields. They're more breathable, you know, carriage systems. There are even some that have sweatbands that you can remove and wash. I mean, so, and then, you know, 20 things that we're not even touching. So the great thing there is, again, depending on the person, depending on the task they're performing, the work site they're on, you can really find something that's comfortable for you. And amazingly, some of the stuff is actually recycled or recyclable. Like, you know, there are some hard hats out there on the market right now made from sugarcane, which I'm not a scientist, guys. I don't understand how that works, but, you know, there's some incredible stuff, and manufacturers are thinking more about
your done. So.
You eat it when you're done. Exactly. Right. It's like, sounds like my dream. So anyway, it's, it really is exciting when you look at all this, and we're not even getting into some of the crazy tech stuff, yet that Ray had alluded to.
And you know, the whole one size fits all concept just doesn't work anymore. You know, before it was just get it to the job site, make sure that the job site has headgear, right? Now it's the whole thing about the comfort and the compliance. I mean, every employee brings unique challenges. And so I think employers have to be more dynamic, and manufacturers have to be more dynamic in order to meet that fit requirement. And it's not just a best, you know, best practice. It's a regulatory requirement, right?
Right on.
So speaking of regulatory requirements, you both mentioned kind of there's confusion with sort of, you know, what OSHA's got out there. And yeah. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that and sort of, you know, the impact it's had on the industry and what we can do to kind of improve things.
Yeah, and this is something that ISCA was really close to. So OSHA, you know, we've got an enormous amount of respect for OSHA. They do incredible work with, you know, frankly, probably half the resources they should have. They published a safety and health information bulletin Q4 last year on head protection, you know, with the very best intentions. And it really caused an uproar in, when I say the industry, not, you know, not just our industry, we work with directly, you know, PPE manufacturers, but end users. And the SHIB, this bulletin, basically said, hey, in most applications, safety helmets or climbing style helmets are going to be better than traditional hard hats. And so what they were kind of doing was comparing, you know, a modern bit of head protection against, you know, the helmets Ray was talking about, right? You know, covered with leather that Barney Rubble might wear. To OSHA's credit, you know, a few industry groups flagged this and said, we're getting calls from end users, you know, safety pros who are asking, whoa, am I going to get an OSHA citation for having hard hats on my job site? So they've published a revised bulletin. It's on their website right now. That, you know, we feel paints a really great accurate picture. And it's just like you say, you don't walk into a dealership and say, I want a car, because there's going to be a million different options. It's the same thing for head protection right now. Do a job hazard assessment, like Ray mentioned, take into account, you know, temperature, take into account how long people be wearing it, comfort, all these things. So it's not a one size fits all solution. So OSHA fortunately course corrected in the new SHIBs on their website.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to echo that, I mean, a lot of the feedback that Cam just shared, we get that concern and feedback from our customers. I mean, we have an expert help tool where our customers get to reach out and ask questions. And so a lot of the things that Cam is talking about, we're finding to be a concern in the industry. And so, you know, a lot of times OSHA does their best effort to put out that initial guidance, that initial information. Many times it's universal to broadcast across many industries and, you know, organizations like the one that Cam works for and ours. We do our best to help sort through all of the questions and challenges that we see in the industry.
Are you seeing, you know, obviously, you know, we've mentioned sort of the newer types of head protection. Are businesses still more likely to use kind of the traditional helmets that they've had? Are they hesitant to kind of try something new? Like, what are you guys seeing?
Ray, you want to take this first?
Yeah, I think there's always that hesitancy, right? I mean, you know, right off the bat, there's always going to be, I think, a cost concern, right? How much is this going to cost me? Newer technology, more advancements, You know, like the type two hard hats that are out there, they're just going to cost more. So there's always a cost concern. Everybody's chasing a budget, right? There's going to be some impact of limited awareness, right? The traditional type one hard hats have been around. Everybody's used them. Now everybody's talking about the type two and their benefits. So there's the educational piece, right? Messaging and making sure that folks understand why it's important, how it protects, and it's not just another sales pitch, so to speak. There's going to be some resistance to change. I've been doing this for 2 decades. I've been around. I've talked to a lot of the trades people, and you often hear, well, we've always done it this way. We've never, you know, why do we got to change? It's always worked for us. And, you know, and so really getting past that human error trap and, you know, getting past that resistance to change. There's that perceived effectiveness, you know, is this really going to work? I mean, right. You know, my type one hard hat's always been good enough for me. I've never really gotten injured type thing. Do I really need a type two? There's the fit and comfort issue, right, that we've been talking about. There's regulatory compliance. You know, I know OSHA's talking about it. Maybe some of the stuff out there is confusing. Where do I go? What do I do? And then I think also the industry norms, you know, I think especially where I've worked in the construction industry, you know, what is the general contractor, what are others doing, what are organizations talking about, and so what are those best practices? And so again, this type two hard hat movement, I think, is the newer kid on the block.
So what's the best way for safety managers to keep up with the latest developments in head protection? Because it sounds like there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So I'll give you a bad answer, Jay, and hopefully a better one. So the bad answer is going to be, it depends. So here at ICA, we had a conference last week, and we brought a bunch of safety professionals to talk to us. And this was one of the questions we asked. And it was fascinating. We had, you know, one of them say, don't cold call me. I want to go to the trade shows. I want to walk the booths, bring my team, kind of kick the tires, get some samples. You know, we had another, you know, maybe a different generation safety pro say, wow, give, you know, email me educational material. I don't go to the shows anymore. So, you know, obviously it depends, but I think, you know, any company or any person, just look at it a couple different ways. If you want to be in person, go to those trade shows, the ASSPs, NSCs, and other ones, get samples, because ultimately, you know, if your workers don't want to wear it, doesn't matter, you know, what protection level it offers. It's a non-starter. The one caution I'd throw out there, online shopping is fantastic, right? And we all do it every day. Just when it comes to PPE, and especially this category, it's number one, it's easy to get confused. You know, is this like, you know, what's the type in the class, and can this be anyway? And there are also some platforms that don't get PPE out there. You know, distributors, they get it. Manufacturers, they get it. You know, JJ Keller gets it. But, you know, there's some big box retailers. They don't do PPE. And some of the stuff on their website is confusing or just flat out wrong. So that's the one place I would say, just, you got to, you know, get over that information hurdle if you're really going to take advantage of online shopping. If it's intimidating, just call your distributor.
Yeah. I agree. Just to echo that, I mean, you know, obviously worker safety is paramount, right? We do what we do to make sure that everybody goes home with their fingers and toes at the end of the day, right? There's that regulatory compliance, right? I mean, safety managers have to be concerned with that. You know, part of their job is to ensure that the employer is being compliant. Productivity, right? I mean, if we can have fewer safety events, right, we can continue to work without interruptions. And I think there's the productivity conversation. There's also the reputation to the brand image. If you're an employer that has a lot of incidents and safety events, I think that can be an impact to your business. There's a cost savings, right? I mean, there's lots of studies out there that have done comparisons on the return on investment, investing in PPE upfront, not having the safety events, and, you know, the cost savings aspect. And then I think just innovation and technology. I think the direction that the market, the industry, and the workforce is really moving in, they demand more innovation and technology. The old ways of doing business shouldn't be the future way of doing business.
Right. I love that you brought up brand, because just released in the last couple of days was the Dirty Dozen Companies of Safety. So the least safe companies, you know, based on the OSHA 300. And so it is flying around on LinkedIn. I'm watching it today. So, yeah, you don't want to be on that list. That's bad news.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Are you guys, you know, given sort of the situation right now, it seems like things are kind of in flux, but are you guys confident that, you know, sort of the education is going to get out there and people are going to make better decisions about head protection going forward?
Yeah. I'd say aren't, it's trust, but verify. I mean, we're doing a lot of work in this area. It's part of the reason we're excited to partner with JJ Keller on the survey. We're working with ASSP. Just because the American national standard for head protection, so ANSI ISEA Z89.1, again, this stuff is, so if you're at all scared by the name of that kind of stuff, don't try to buy PPE online. We're revising it right now. And so we are excited about the changes that are going to be in there, but we also recognize that's going to be another learning curve toward year end. So what we're trying to do is lay the groundwork now, make sure that people are paying more attention or armed with better information with the recognition that change is coming by year end.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I mean, communication is going to be key. I mean, I think a year ago, I saw a lot of my peers in the construction industry. They were receiving trade partner notifications from general contractors saying, hey, this is coming down the pike. Get ready for it. We're going to be mandating type 2 hard hats. And there was a lot of confusion out there. Well, what does this mean? And what's the cost impact? And why do I got to do it? And really now, almost 12 months later, you see a lot of the industry accepting the fact that this is the new movement and then asking the right questions. And that's when we get the expert help questions, we see that gravitational movement where now the customers and the general public are asking the right questions. They've accepted the concept. Now it's, well, how do I need to do it and how do I need to comply type stuff?
Excellent. Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This has been great.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Ray. It's a good, nice conversation.
That wraps up episode 202 of EHS on Tap. You can find more information about the show and listen to on-demand episodes at ehsdailyadvisor.blr.com. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I hope you join me next time.